I'm Health Coach Heather, and you are listening to episode 37, Replacing Electronics. You are listening to the Healthy Families World podcast with Health Coach Heather, certified master health and wellness coach specializing in family health. You're here because you want a strong, healthy, courageous family as we head into the future. So hang out with me each week to learn my best wellness practices, coaching advice, recipes, workouts, and much, much more. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Thank you for being here with me today. Wow, what an amazing time we live in, right? Certainly are confusing and interesting times that we live in whenever you turn on the TV and you watch the news. And some of these conversations we have to have with our kids are very difficult when they hear about this stuff or see it or trying to understand what's going on with the elections and why are people rioting and what's all the... Now there's a bunch of fires everywhere in California and Oregon and Arizona and hurricanes. There's just a lot going on in our world, and it's very interesting to kind of watch it all. Part of the problems that we're seeing today as far as kids and kids' health goes is there's way too much screen time going on in people's homes. And so today I'm going to educate you on screens. I've brought on an amazing speaker. Her name is Melanie Hempe, and she runs a website called screenstrong.com. So you need to go check that out. Link will be in the show notes for you guys so you can go check out all that we talk about today. But this is a growing problem that I'm seeing as a coach and that other parents out there are seeing in their own kids. Our kids are being attacked right in front of our own eyes. Their time is being taken, and it's all due to screens, whether it's devices and video games or social media. So I want to just bring awareness to you today. You're really going to enjoy today's podcast interview with Melanie Hempe. So without further ado, let's bring her onto the show. Melanie Hempe is the founder of ScreenStrong.com, and Melanie educates parents on the negative consequences of excessive screen use and teaches them how to incorporate healthier alternatives that rebuild relationships between their child, their family, and the real world. So welcome to the show, Melanie. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. We're great. Thank you so much. This is going to be so fun talking about what I am so passionate about.
Well, when I first heard you talk, it was on Colin's podcast.
Yes.
You know, Karchner.
Yes.
And I just listened to you and I thought, holy cow, she's got a very similar story. And I think I caught my kid in time, you know. We have very similar stories, you and I, with our boys. And yes. So when I heard you speak, I was like, whoa, this is speaking to my heart. She gets it, and she's been in it longer than me. She knows. And now I'm on this road to helping educate families too about electronic use and
Excellent.
The dangers, right, that can come yes. along with that. So could you just tell us the bite-sized chunk mm-hmm. of what your story is? And if they want to hear like the long version, they can go over mm-hmm. to Colin Karchner's podcast and hear that too. So
absolutely. Yes. So the short story is I am a mom of four. My husband and I live in North Carolina near Charlotte. I actually went to Emory nursing school. So I'm a nurse. And basically what happened was our oldest son became very addicted to video games, and we had no idea there was such a thing. Like they didn't teach me this in nursing school. And, you know, you have your kids, your first one, especially, you're not real sure about different, you're learning, you know, you're not real sure about everything, but, he did okay through middle school, but it was in middle school where he started getting a bunch of handhelds. And this is back when Game Boy was really popular. And then through high school, what happened in the ninth grade, he got a laptop. And that was sort of the beginning of the end for us, because I wasn't able to manage it anymore the way that you can manage other type of screens. This was one that was living with him at all times, because he kept saying he was doing his homework, but really he was playing video games. And I wasn't able to set the kitchen timer and say, okay, get off, because he would say, well, I'm doing math, you know, so I was really confused. And so as a result of that, he dropped out of a lot of his activities. He got very involved with, you know, Call of Duty and World of Warcraft and like every game out there. But I was really kind of confused because he had straight A's in school. And so I just was using that as my litmus test for if this was okay. And I think that's a big problem for parents today. Like a lot of parents today that have gamers, they don't do well in school, but there are quite a few who do well. So the moms say, well, if they're doing well in school, then they must be okay. That is not, that's a myth. That's not true. So what happened with Adam is he dropped out of all of his activities, all of his hobbies, his sports, his piano lessons and everything that he used to love to do. And he gamed all the time. And we were so frustrated because we were having, you know, our other children at the time. So we had four in the house and he was constantly in the basement gaming. It was hard to get him to come to dinner. It was always an argument. It just feels like that whole childhood experience with Adam was centered around a lot of conflict. And I couldn't wait for him to go to college. All my friends were crying about their kids leaving home. I'm like, oh, no, no, you don't understand. Adam is going to start his life. He is going to college. And just like we had such a great college experience, you know, I just knew he was going to outgrow his gaming. That's also a myth that I had to learn the hard way. So after his first year of college, he ended up dropping out because he did play his game, you know, all through college. He didn't go to classes. He didn't finish his classes. And so he ended up dropping out. He came home and I was devastated that this was going on. He told me that World of Warcraft did something to him. And he said, Mom, I've been in bed for a week. I haven't been able to even really go eat and do anything. And he said, it's the game. I really at first thought he was on drugs and he wasn't. It was the video games. And so he came home, he was on my sofa. And the only thing worse than having a gamer in college is having one on your sofa. You know, when they're supposed to be launching, they're not launching. So I actually called the military and had a recruiter come over and Adam signed the contract and he went into the military and he spent 5 years serving our country and really finding a good purpose there. And he went to Iraq and he came back and after 5 years and he finished his college career. So when he came home and we had lots of discussions about this, he explained to me, you know, in more adult terms, cause he's a little bit older, you know, what happened to him. But the whole time while he was over, in the army and out of the country and I was actually doing a lot of research and I talked to a lot of, physicians. I traveled all over the country. I went to conferences, went to a lot of medical conferences, brain science type topics, neuroscience to understand and learn more about the science behind this addiction that had really robbed Adam of his childhood and that had really been a very dark experience for us and our family. Mm-hmm. And as a result of all that research and learning about what screens do to kids' brains in particularly, and just what they do to change their whole experience, emotionally as well. My daughter was now coming through the cell phone experience and the smartphone experience. So we decided, not to give her social media. That was probably the best decision I made, outside of the worst decision of giving Adam, you know, video games. But then we had two younger boys. And so we created a game-free home and that is how Screen Strong got started. I started speaking at different schools and parent groups and community groups and, you know, churches. And, there were always a lot of people. In fact, our first meeting that we had, I put a little flyer up at the school and we had over 125 people show up. And I mean, we had like 10 chairs in the room and I thought, wow, I am not the only mom out there and we are not the only family struggling with this. So that's kind of how we got started and, how this whole movement was started with what is now called Screen Strong. We started off as Families Managing Media. And our brand now is called Screen Strong. And I have taken all of that experience that I had and all the mistakes that I made. And trust me, I've made so many mistakes around parenting with screens. And I buckled down, got my research under my belt. I was really tired of sorting through opinions on this because there's so many opinions out there. And I mean, everybody means well, but they weren't working for me. So, you know, I decided to find out the root of the problem and get really more centered on the science. And so I love taking that science and explaining it to parents in real easy to understand terms so they can then turn around and make good decisions for their family.
I love it. And I think we're all in the same position where as parents, we don't know sometimes what's best. We feel like the latest tech is the best. You know, some of us are like, it's teaching them and they're learning and there's benefits to all of this. Is there benefits to video games or devices?
So let's talk about that a minute. Because in my workshops, I talk a lot about the different screens that are out there because, you know, not all screens are bad and not all screens are created equal. And so you have interactive screens like video games and social media, and then you have more passive screens like TV. And then you have sort of in the middle is a sweet spot, which are like educational screens. And those are screens that kids can use, you know, in programs like Excel and Word and all these things that you can use in school and you can use to learn. And that's what we recommend. I mean, we think that these types of screens can be good. However, it's a very small percentage of the actual screen use that kids have today, and they're not addictive. So I have never had anyone come to me to say their child was addicted to Excel, for example. That's exactly. Probably not going to happen because those screens
are not. We got a bookkeeper in the family.
Yes. And so they're not going to trigger that dopamine addiction reward pathway. And that's really the villain in our story. The villain is not the screen. The villain is the dopamine addiction reward pathway that's triggered by certain use. And so for video games, I know that there are a few studies that can say, oh, well, video games can increase a child's, you know, hand-eye coordination or whatnot. And I, you know, used to try to buy that. And I certainly tried to buy it when I was raising my gamer. And I tried to find all the good things about video games because people say, well, they're having social skills and they're talking to people online and whatnot. And I'll be honest with you, based on the research and the science, when you look at all the peer-reviewed studies on this, it is very clear that the benefits really don't outweigh the risk. And that's what you have to look with anything. I mean, you could say that, you know, drinking alcohol, that there's a benefit there because it's, you know, maybe there's water in it and your body needs water. And I'm like, well, but the risk is that you're going to get, you know, addicted to alcohol. So that's probably not good to make that your main drink for the day. Right. So it's very similar. Back in the day, you know, years ago when Pac-Man was very popular and Tetris and, you know, maybe you do or don't remember those games. Those games were nowhere near as addictive. In fact, they really weren't that addictive because they didn't have the persuasive design elements that are found in today's games. And So I guess to answer your question, you know, we could go to the arcade. We had our pocket full of quarters. You would play Pac-Man. You'd be with your friends. It was fun. You'd run out of quarters and you were done and you went home. Today, that's not how it works. Today, we don't have quarters to put in machines. There is an endless play and an endless scroll in social media. So when a screen has no stopping point, that is a big problem. So if you look at it in terms of how gambling works and how casinos work, it's very similar. That's how games are today. So are there benefits? No, I don't think that there are benefits that are substantial enough to outweigh the risk, and especially for kids. Right. So that's what you've got to weigh. I think the benefit for a child to be playing outside with his friends, to be learning how to problem solve in real life on the sandlot baseball field, to be working at Rubik's Cube, maybe even to learn code on a computer is fine. But the benefits of playing video games are not substantial enough to make it worth the risk that you're going to be introducing into your kids' lives. Well, I'll just say even the social benefits, because people say now, especially during the quarantine, well, this is the only way my kids socialize with their friends. And And I'm going to say it's still a very bad idea to do that. There are a lot of other ways to socialize, even when we're in a situation where we can't maybe be around as many people. It is not real socialization. It's not being in the presence of another person. You're not really solving problems. Everything is being directed by the game. Even on Minecraft, you're not using your imagination. You're using the program. Now, someone else used their imagination to actually build that game, but your kid is not using their imagination. And again, we have people that can argue with that, and that's fine. But I know from the science, and I know from biology and from child development, what needs to happen in a developing brain. It does not happen on a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that those video games make your finger, your trigger finger, just 0.02% faster than someone else's when you hear a ding or whatever. So I guess that might be useful if you want to be a sniper or air traffic control or something, you know,
Yeah. I mean, you can peel out a little bit of a difference there and you can look at it and say, oh, this is a difference. However, if you get your kid out on a baseball field and they're trying to hit a baseball with a baseball bat, that is so hard to do. And that is actually developing those same type of skills. You know, take them skeet shooting if that's what you want, you know, if you want to develop that skill. So what I'm saying, there's much safer environments to develop those skills than in a video game. It's kind of like saying, well, I'm going to get my protein today. I'm going to eat 2 eggs. Now I'm going to put the eggs in a big old chocolate cake and I'm going to eat the whole chocolate cake, but I did get 2 eggs, right? I'm like, well, yeah, that sounds like the logic that my, you know, middle schooler would give me. So I think,
That was actually in a Bill Cosby comedy show, he said that. He's like, well, there was eggs in the cake, right?
So oh, really? Oh, my gosh. My protein. I'll have to go find that. That is so funny. Because we have common sense. And as parents, we try so hard to make our kids happy. And we know these games, they just love these games. And, you know, they would love to eat, you know, candy bars for dinner every night, too, I'm quite sure. Oh, but we can't allow that to happen. And if you do, then they're going to not eat their vegetables and they're not going to eat the things they need to eat. So, but I know that parents, me included, you know, we have blind spots and we have biases. And so it can be really hard to muddle through this issue because we want so badly, you know, for our kids to be happy. And we're always trying to find that middle ground, you know, well, can't they just play an hour a day? Isn't that okay? You know, because then they can have what they want and then I can feel better as a parent that I'm not letting them play too much. And I'm just going to step out there and be very bold and say, you're really taking a chance. Because even 1 hour a day, if they're playing every single day, that is a problem. First of all, your kids should never play every day. If it's something they depend on, oh, I have to play every day. That's really a big problem that you're building a bad habit and you're building a habit around an addictive activity. But even if they play on the weekends, you know, some parents say, well, I never let them play during the school week, but I let them play on the weekends because I think that that's really balancing. It's really not balancing because, again, it depends. And my son says it the best. My son, Adam, who we really messed up on, you know, he told me one time recently, he said, Mom, this is what you tell the parents. If their kids get bored playing a video game, then they're probably okay. They're probably not going to get addicted to it. You know, if they get bored after 20 minutes, but if they don't get bored after 20 minutes and they want to just keep playing, then you have a problem. And I love that because I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. So again, can you balance it? You know, I used to think you could. I even went through the first 3 or 4 years of our organization. We got started. We try to help parents. And I've just never seen it work. I've never seen it work where, you know, they can actually.
What about for a reward? Like if they're like
okay,
doing
so
really
this
well.
Is a really good question for a reward. I love this question because I think rewards work really well in parenting. I think rewards work for kids. You're training them, you're teaching them, you're like a coach. And that's what we use a lot in our material that mom and dad, you know, don't think of yourself as this mean parent trying to whatever. Think of yourself as a coach. So what does a good coach do when their kids are struggling, when their team is struggling, well, you got to go back to the drawing board. You have to redo their core. Usually, like, you know, with even Major League Baseball, you know, baseball players get into hitting slumps. And so what do? You got to go back to the basics. And so with a good coach, we use rewards. So rewards are really good. But the big mistake that I made and that a lot of parents make is that the rewards we use are not things that we value. And so rewards should always be something that your family values. And I made a big mistake with this, with Adam in the beginning. I would give him the reward of the game because that's what he wanted. But it really wasn't something that I thought was that great for him even then, because I thought, how weird is it that I have a 12-year-old that all he wants to do is sit in the basement in a dark room and play video games? He should be outside. He should be riding his bike, you know, but it's what he wants to do. And it would get him to do his chores, and it would get him to do, in fact, whatever I wanted him to do. I could use that. And a lot of parents don't give up their video games because they know it is the most powerful reward they have. But what I would like to encourage you to think about is, what are things that we value in our family? And now I know how important family attachment is, and how relationships really are the most important thing in our family. I mean, when we think about it, the relationship we have with our kids and relationships that we teach them to have with their siblings and with their friends, people should be the reward, not the game. And so what we value in our family is time with each other. And so for rewards now, what we use with my younger kids as they were growing up, since we have a game-free home, we use time with either parent. So what will happen when the boys do something, you know, we may keep a point system even. And maybe there's a camp out in the backyard with dad. Maybe dad gets to take you to go get yogurt. Maybe you get to go on a special errand with dad. I mean, just recently, one of the boys went on a little day trip with dad, you know, and then they can do special things with me. So that's what we use as rewards now in our family is.
I love that you have that idea of connection more. I do agree. And that's one piece that I think it's hard for parents to give up their time to be with their kids if they're so busy already. But that is a piece we need to consider when we get rid of those video games, is it's going to require more of our time and attention, which we'll never regret as parents, right? Is that
right? So that, let's talk about that just for a second, because you're exactly right. You end up spending more time with your kids, but this is what happened in my home, and it has happened so many homes that parents have been through our Screen Strong Challenge. We have a free exercise, I guess, that you can do through our site. It's either 7 days or 30 days, but it's a Screen Strong Challenge, and we teach you how to go about reducing the screen time, taking away for a period of time so you can readjust and recalibrate. And so the biggest question that parents have is, Melanie, I don't have time. I don't have enough time. I love my kids. Of course, I love my kids, but I don't have enough time. So this is what I want to tell you. This idea that we all have in our head that if we take the video game away, that we will not have a minute to ourselves, that is a myth. It is a huge myth, because what happens when you take the video games away, your kids start to be, they start to use their imagination doing other things. They start developing other hobbies. So granted, I will give it to you that the first little bit, you know, the first few weeks, you are going to have to spend more time with your kids, period. You're going to have to retrain them. You're going to have to recalibrate and reset that feel in your home. And when you take all the games, I remember the first time I took the Wii away, because when we were learning how to restructure everything we did, we took all the video games out of our house. And that afternoon, the boys had their meltdown fit because they wanted the Wii. And, you know, I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, after everything we've been through, guys, and I'm learning all this stuff, I'm reading all these books. And I had a few books in the very beginning that just really helped me. And they went upstairs and they literally created a board game. Like, they had a piece of poster board and they like made a board game. And I didn't even tell them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so this cool. is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, I didn't even know I was like so impressed that they thought to do that. And so then I remembered when I was growing up, and I'm like, we thought of so many creative things to do, you know, with my friends down the street and my brother, and we created games, and we just used our imagination. And I had a sewing machine. I mean, I remember making a dress when I was in the sixth grade. It was like, really? Mm-hmm. It probably had holes in it. But, you know, I remember doing all these things and being so creative and cooking and making bread. And, you know, we had bikes. My brother and I had a fort out in the treehouse. We built a whole treehouse. You know, it wouldn't have won any awards, but it was awesome. We just did all these fun things. And so the initial few weeks of getting your kids reset, that's where you have to spend more time with them. Like one of our friends, Mary, she said, you know, I had to play Monopoly, you know, five times a day. It was driving me crazy. But then after that, what you have to understand is that it's kind of like your kids on their training wheels on their bike. And, you know, you go out after dinner every night and it's like, okay, we're going to try it again. And you have to run with them and you have to help them. And then, you know, because they're going to fall off, and then you put the training wheels on, and then all of a sudden they're riding their bike and they're gone. And it's like, they're riding their bike around the neighborhood. That's exactly how this works. You put some training wheels on, you put the art supplies out, the games. Like, we have 1,000-piece puzzle in our den for the last 5 years. We've gone through tons of puzzles, you know, because we're constantly doing new puzzles. And I'm very happy to spend money on puzzles, because I know what it's like to have to spend money on therapy for kids who have video game addiction. So I never worry about that. It's like, whatever, it doesn't really matter. I mean, but there are so many activities that our kids do. And then now once you get them reading, for example, once you get them playing a musical instrument, oh my goodness, then you're sort of like, I don't want to say home free, but you kind of are, because they're so busy. Like my younger kids, they're never bored. We just have so much fun with our kids now. Whereas with Adam, there was so much conflict all the time. Now we just have fun. And no, I do not have to spend every waking minute with them. I run this organization. I cook a lot. I'm constantly, of course, cleaning our house and doing different things in the yard. And we have a garden, and I have plenty of time to do all that, because they are self-sufficient. So
a working mom who works till like 6 or 7 at night, so doesn't see her kids after school, like, could she do something like this too? And how does she stay on top of it if she's not home?
Yes. And so that's a very, very good question. You know, the working mom. So with the Screen Strong Challenge, we have quite a few people that go through that are working parents. Of course, now a lot of people are home because, you know, they're doing work from home. But you have to remember that not that long ago, kids didn't have video games like this, right? So there was a time in our history that you really could be a kid without a video game. And right. Even without TV much, you know. So what I would recommend, and this works really well for working parents, that you buddy up with a couple of your friends, hopefully somebody that's close by in the neighborhood if possible, if that works, even if there's only one other family, and you do some trading off. And so after school, when your kids come home, they get to go over to, you know, the neighbors, and they play and they do fun, because it's another mom who's like-minded just like you, who doesn't want to raise her kids on video games. And you have a conversation. Maybe you both go through the challenge. You read the books. I've got a couple of really good books that are really short and easy to read, that are on our website. And you just get your like-minded little village together. And then that's how you parent during the times when you're not there. Your kids actually should not be alone by themselves at home. I don't care if they're old enough to be by themselves. They really don't need to be by themselves. They either need to be with, you know, another family or another mom who she doesn't, and it's not like you have to dote on them, but if you get a couple kids together, you know, maybe after school, they come home to, you know, one of your neighbors, like maybe there's three of you and everybody takes a day, you know? And so when it's my day and I have the kids, I'm going to drive them over to the ballpark. We're going to go do soccer. We're going to do baseball, or I'll just have them over and I'll make sure they stay outside and they're going to play basketball, you know, in the driveway. Or maybe they do a study group. They do their homework together. You've got to monitor it though, because if they have all their laptops out, they're probably playing Fortnite. So you have to monitor that. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to the mom who's working, who doesn't have, you know, who's used to having her kids at home. And of course they're playing video games because it is the world's best babysitter. It's the best babysitter yes. in the short term. In fact, I know of a family who, their child was, I think he was about 15 years old and he was playing his video game and they had left the house. And, so he was there by himself. And do you know that the smoke detectors went off in his house, in their house? And this child did not hear the smoke detectors because he's playing his video game. And so the fire trucks came. Do you know he did not hear the fire trucks come down the road blaring their horn? And then finally the fire trucks had to beat the door down because he did not hear the doorbell. He literally was that immersed in his game, which any mom of a gamer knows exactly wow. what I'm talking about. And so the firemen actually ended up in his bedroom, you know, thinking the house was burning down. So they get very immersed in their games. It's just not good. It's just not a good way to live. And
dangerous. So
for the working mom, you know, there are ways to figure it out. There are ways to figure it out.
Good reminder to not leave kids home alone, because we've gotten so comfortable doing that in our society now, even when they're at the age of 8 or 9, you know, just they're okay. They're not babies anymore. We can leave them for a few hours. We've gotten so comfortable with that because of TV and electronics. So this is a very good reminder to the parents. Absolutely.
Yeah. I talked to a dad just yesterday, or maybe it was today. It was on Tuesday. And, I had a meeting. We were in the parking lot. I was speaking to him. Oh, how are you doing? How are your kids? He goes, you know what? We're great, because I'm driving to work. And guess what's in my trunk of my car? All the video games and all the screens are in the trunk of my car because I had to leave the kids.
Awesome.
I'm like, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. Because we get this false sense of security yeah. that our kids are safe somehow because they have their smartphones and all this stuff. They are not safe. They are not safe. If we just wake up for 2 minutes and read, you know, the news about what's happening with child predators, your kids are not safe. And I don't want to fear monger parents, but they're not safe. Mm-hmm. They're safer outside running around than they are in yes. the house with a screen. And I don't trust my kids. And I love talking about this. Let's talk about this just for a second. The reason why you don't trust your kids. Okay. And you can't trust your kids because they're not adults yet. Their brains are not fully Their frontal cortex is not fully connected till they're in their mid-20s, and they will lie to you. And so this is not a heart issue. They're not bad kids. This is a brain issue. They're at the highest season for risk-taking that they'll ever be in their whole life. And so I tell my kids all the time, if they even remotely start to say something like, oh, you don't trust me, I say, you're exactly right. I don't trust you. I love you and I love you to death, but I don't trust you because I don't trust your brain right now, because your brain is like all scrambled up and it's like all accelerator, no brakes. And my goal right now is to get my kids to trust me. That's my goal right now. Mm-hmm. That's your goal through this, you know, time when you're training this adolescent to be an adult, because they're apprentice adults. They are not adults yet, even when they're 16, 17, yeah, I don't trust an 18-year-old. Sorry, I don't trust him.
Right. What do you say to a parent who has an adult child in the house living with them? Now they're not a teen anymore. They're an adult and they're on video games all day. And the parent's frustrated. She feels like they're not going to make anything of themselves. They're lazy. They need to go out and get a job, but doesn't know how because he's an adult now to tell him to get off.
Oh, she's going to have to do that hard, tough love thing. And give them some ultimatums. And if you don't, then in 5 years, that child is still going to be sitting on the sofa playing video games. You're going to be carrying his dinner to him on the plate, which I know this is what parents do. And there has to be a plan. It's just like anything else. If you are buying the drug, then you are part of the problem. And if you're buying the internet and you're allowing them to eat your food and live in your house, and most of the time the gamers will go get a part-time job, you know, at a Pizza Hut or something. And then they game the rest of the day. They game all through the night. They're gaming while mom and dad are sleeping. So parents usually really don't know. But I have a big problem. You know, personally, I had a big problem with my son moving back into my house. I love my son. We love him to death. But that's not healthy for a young man to, you know, it's okay for them to live at home if they have a plan and they're getting ready to launch, but not to live at home and play video games. Absolutely not.
Right.
You have to put, but see, by that time, by the time they're that old, if you haven't done, you know, the job of pulling it out before then, which, and I'm not blaming anybody for not doing it. I certainly didn't do it. So like, I understand, how hard that is. So I'm not shaming anybody. You're going to wake up. Maybe you hear this podcast for the first time and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You're right. I have an 18-year-old living in my house. I have a 20-year-old living in my house. He has a part-time job. He's not, you know, and everybody says, well, it's the economy. He can't get work. I'm like, no, this is not true. None of this is true. You have to do the tough love thing, make a plan, maybe help him make a plan, but there has to be an end date and he has to move out. He has to get on his own. And ultimately he's going to have to stop playing video games so he can focus on a purpose in his life.
Yeah. The hard thing I see is it's a spouse. And so even if the mom's like, I want this to happen, no more video games, no more, the spouse isn't on board. He still wants to have video games in the home. And then the kids see the dad doing it. And if dad's doing it, dad wants the kids to do it with him. It's how they bond. This is tough, right?
This is a very hard place to be. And so what we recommend for that is that you get on our website, you have dad look at some of the videos we have up there. We have, different, of course, resources. There's the test to tell, like, if you have a problem, if your child is dependent on video games, there's like a little test that you can take. And dad or the spouse is going to have to understand more of the medical part behind it. He's going to have to understand that while it's okay, maybe for him to play after all the kids go to bed, even though I totally disagree with that, after everything that I know about video games and how this is causing more divorces in this country than anybody even actually knows. It's right now, the statistic is 15% of all divorces are caused by gaming because, you know, husbands and wives are arguing because young girls, you know, young couples are getting married and then the husband's gaming all the time. It's very lonely. It's a very lonely thing. But when you have children, that is so sad because the kids then start mimicking all this behavior, you know, and they see that, well, dad's doing it, so it must be okay. But it's not okay for kids to do it. The games that kids are playing today, I mean, like Fortnite, for example, that's a 13 and above only game. And I'm sure, you know, most of the people, you know, they're having problems. Their kids are 9 years old playing Fortnite. Like they're not even following the game rating. And so for parents and for dads, especially who are playing Call of Duty with their son, well, I don't think so. That game is a mature only game. So why is dad doing that? You know, again, I don't want to judge the dad. I think they don't understand that these patterns and these habits that are just being built in your child, it's such a disservice to our boys, especially. And we'll just be clear. Yes, girls like to play games too sometime, but it's statistically, they don't have as much problem. They have more trouble on social media and on their smartphones.
Social media. Yeah.
That's usually for girls. But if your dad listening to this, you know, please don't turn a deaf ear. Please look at the research, look at the things that your son can be developing with the time that they're spending on a game. Imagine what your son could do if he spent 2 hours hitting baseballs with you in the backyard. Or how about working on his mile time? Or how about lifting weights? How about get weight equipment in your home and do that type of thing with your son? What about cooking? What about mountain biking? What about camping? I mean, think of all the bonding things that you can do with him that are so much more healthy. Even reading out loud to your son, even when they're teenagers, it's okay to read out loud. You know, get a book series and go through that. I mean, I know that sounds maybe a little boring, but it's not. When you try it, it's just, you would be so shocked at how much fun people can have without all the conflict and the arguments. You know, who wants to grow up remembering that my childhood was all about my mom and dad yelling at me about video games, or worse, that all I did was play video games, you know, all through high school. And I really don't have any stories. Like, I don't have any family stories.
No stories, like, no memories, but that.
No memories. Oh yeah. I remember the time I sat and played, you know, Minecraft for 5 hours on a Saturday. They're not going to remember that. That's not something they're going to cherish. And the other downside is I see that siblings are not getting to know each other. And I was so close to my brother growing up and we had such a fabulous relationship. then, and especially now as adults. But that was all the foundation was all built in childhood. And there are so many siblings now that don't know each other because they're all off playing, you know, video games. So
these are the long-term repercussions, right? The repercussions are our relationships fail, our health declines, right? Mm-hmm. And when I know when with my son, he was detoxing, those first couple of weeks were awful for me because he would just go in his room and cry because what he loved the most was building this world of Minecraft. Yes. And he thought that was real. Like that virtual world was so real to him. In fact, when I heard your son Adam describe this when he was on the video on your website, I thought, oh my gosh, that was what my son was thinking. And he just would cry and lash out and be like, he couldn't fathom that his real world wasn't Minecraft, that it was this world. That was hard.
Well, and see, this is very interesting because what you're talking about is what happens with a gamer. And it happens usually kind of slowly, although sometimes it can happen quickly. I've seen it happen really quick. If a child has like a sports injury, they're home on the couch for 6 weeks and then they get totally turned into a gamer in a 6 week period. but what happens is the virtual world becomes their world and everything they do in the real world is only to get back to the virtual world, which has become their real world. And that's when you know you really have a problem. That when they want their Minecraft more than they want to help you make dinner, you have a problem because they have shifted. Mm-hmm. They've like left your home. And we know, everybody knows now the science around attachment and detachment, you know, disorders and everything that happens, that we spend really a good part of our adult life trying to fix what went wrong in childhood. You know, it's like 90% of adult addictions start in the teen years. We know that the brain, the young brain is not as resilient as we used to think. More permanent damage does occur, like with pot use, for example, with a young teenager. Well, the same thing happens with an addictive behavior like activity. Like video games, it's very similar to gambling. So if your son started getting addicted to gambling, it would be really hard to pull him off because it's all the intermittent rewards. It's the same exact science that they use in gambling that they use in video games. And so, but you know how dealing with gamblers, I mean, that's a very devastating addiction and, they're just in a different reality. You know, they just think very different. And that's kind of the way it is with gaming. So it starts early. It starts cute and fun and, you know, with Minecraft and all these fun little games. And the Minecraft one is really tricky because it looks like Legos. And moms always think that they're educational and all this stuff. I'm telling you, it is not. They would be much better off playing with real Legos. We can say, oh, well, they can strategize and do whatever. Well, you know what? You can do that much better in real life. It's always better in real life. And the other thing I would just want to point out about Minecraft that you probably don't know, that most parents don't know, is the amount of pornographic material that's in Minecraft. When you go to YouTube and you just search Minecraft sex, you won't believe what you see. It is this whole world of terrible content, terrible adult content. And they're the little Minecraft figures literally having sex, you know, and there's how to make the functional penis terrible. And then it ejaculates little white Lego sheep. And there's this whole dark side to it. Then those are all on the YouTube videos and those are not filtered out by any of your filters. The rabbit hole is so deep with this stuff. And so you might think that you're doing something good that can be something surface in your mind thinking, oh, well, you know, this is okay. But your kids do not use screens the way you use. And we really hurt our kids when we treat them like adults and when we expect them to, you know, use screens the way we use. And then also I can just tell you that every 12-year-old boy out there knows about this Minecraft stuff. I'll just tell you, because they all talk about it. And they are curious. And so you open the door and then you have to figure out at what point are you going to shut the door. It's most of the time generally better just not even to go down that path. Science.
Because imagine if they saw that YouTube video of that nasty stuff, their brains are already like, I've seen Minecraft. This is fine. It's just those characters I'm used to seeing all the time. And then we've kind of introduced them to some kind of cartoon porn almost.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not thinking about that. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. And the cartoon pornography out there that's embedded in a lot of these games, you know, a lot of the games are the anime and everything. If you've ever seen, I mean, it's the most stressful thing I've ever seen is how cartoons, you know, can be pornographic. It's very twisted. And yet boys are very interested. It doesn't matter that it's cartoon, just like cartoon violence. It does just as much damage as seeing regular violence. It doesn't matter. I mean, the American Academy of Pediatrics has a position paper on this, that cartoon violence is just as damaging for a child, you know, to see than regular violence, or I don't want to say normal violence because there's nothing normal. Yeah. But you know, just in person sort of. And so we have to get more diligent around child development as we introduce these really harsh experiences into our kids' life. And we have to know that, you know, while there is hope and while we can turn the tide and we can, you know, help our kids, there is damage that is done. And some of it is very permanent damage. Once you see certain images in your brain, they never go away. They're stored in your brain like little flash drives, like a little hard drive, like a little chip in your brain that if you're, you know, sitting in math class one day, you can access that and you can replay that video in your head. A lot of boys do this with their video games. They go through the plays, they go through all the different things they could have done or should have done. And, you know, they're daydreaming about it. And it's very powerful stuff because these games affect the limbic area of our brain. And after about 20, 30 minutes, the frontal cortex starts to shut down. The fight flight gets stimulated. There's a lot more going on than just Pac-Man. You know, it's not Pac-Man anymore.
Absolutely.
And Minecraft is not all educational. Minecraft can be very addictive. And, you know, if you're playing with other kids on Minecraft, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea who you're playing with. And that's a whole nother topic for another day. And we can help any parent who wants to reduce this or just throw it out altogether, which is what my recommendation is. And you may not be there yet. So if you want to just reduce it and get a handle, get some more education, go to our site at screenstrong.com. And then our Facebook group is Screen Strong Families. And that's where you can join a private group and discuss what's going on in your home. And there's a ton of parents in there that have
now
on the other side that can help you with kids of all ages. So
we're going to link all this up in this whole podcast for you guys. So you can just click on links and go find them here and there. I just want to, you have a fundraiser coming up next week, right?
We have an educational event.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So next Tuesday on the 22nd at 6:30 on our Facebook Live, on our Facebook, you just go on Screen Strong to get there. And, or you can go to ScreenStrongEvents.com. So on that page is where you can register Screen Strong Events. So we have an incredible lineup with physicians. We have Dr. Dunkley coming to speak. We have Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, who wrote the book Assassination Generation. He's just a fascinating speaker on video game violence and aggression in kids. It's just fascinating. So it is a fundraiser, but it's also very much an hour packed full of education and testimonies from families. So it's free, of course. We'd love for anyone to join, to listen. If you can't listen, then, you know, it will be up so you can share it with your friends. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We just work so hard to get this material out. And of course, there are, you know, expenses involved with that. But we're very, very happy to have anyone join that. We're so excited. We had this planned for a live event in person, an in-person event. And then now after we had to reschedule it for the third time, we decided to make it virtual. So we're very excited.
Make it virtual. And this is a good place for people to find their tribe of people, right?
Yes.
I think that's the hardest thing for me as a mom is I've reached out to all my neighborhood people, all my church people. Nobody wants to give up video games.
I know. Like, well, we got to get them educated
first.
I
need to find people.
I know.
Right.
I'll help you find some people. And maybe you have a little book club. You know, we have our course. Our course is just now actually just went up this week. Maybe you listen to the course with your friends, you know, and then you go from there. They have to be educated first. But thank you.
If you could recommend some books, right?
Yes.
Did you write a book that you could recommend or something?
There are three books that I have on Amazon. So if you just type in my name on Amazon, they'll come up. But the first one is Will Your Gamer Survive College? That's a short read, but it's really good about video games and kids. And then Can Your Teen Survive and Thrive Without a Smartphone? That one's all about smartphones. And then the one that goes with the challenge is the Screen Strong Solution. And the Screen Strong Solution book is How to Free Your Child from Addictive Screen Habits. And it's like the 7 steps. So we go through 7 steps to pull it away. And we have a lot of tips in there, you know, for alternative activities and all that stuff that you can do.
Wonderful. So we'll link those too.
You're seeing that your
last question is. Yeah, go ahead. Huh? Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you see their kids have some warning signs, if they are having warning signs or having problems, do not wait. Do not think it's going to go away. They will not outgrow it. It will get worse.
So. Okay, good. My final question for you is if you could leave my listeners with one solid piece of advice they could take today, what would you tell them to do?
Well, I would say, let's see, the thing I would say that is if your son or daughter can't list 3 things that they like more than their game, you've got some work to do. You've got some work.
Okay.
And I would say, do not wait. Do not wait one more day. It gets worse, and you have to trust me on this. It gets worse. You're gonna wake up one day, and you're gonna lose your son, and you're gonna lose him to this world of video gaming. You're not gonna be able to get him back. And I don't mean to sound really harsh, but I really mean it. I've seen it time and time again happen to families. So if they can't list 3 things they like more than their game, you're not in balance and he's headed down the wrong path. So I hope that helps. There is hope and we're here to help. And there is so much joy on the other side of this journey. And I'm so passionate about sharing what that looks like. So
I love it. Come visit us, and I will email you back. Come visit.
Yeah.
You said you messed up with Adam, but you might have felt bad about that, but think of all the lives now that's been affected through your work and all the help that's come from us.
So okay with sharing my story. And I tell Adam all the time, I'm like, Adam, you saved your brothers. And look at all these kids you're affecting. In fact, Adam is joining us for our event on Tuesday. So please come watch it, even just to see him.
We'll
he's going to be near the end of the event, but he's going to share. So yes, you're right. Awesome. You're right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melanie. You're amazing. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, there you go, you guys. I don't know what else to tell you. She said it all right in this discussion about electronics. I hope that you took what she said to heart. Consider eliminating video games from your home. And I would say even television as much as you can as well. This is a tough call for parents, but we're heading into a new era where kids are being exposed more than ever before. Eliminating these devices will make their lives 10 times better, I promise you. And the memories they will have from their childhood, basically because you gave them time, you gave them connection, they're never going to forget that. So please go follow Melanie, screenstrong.com. Check the show notes for any links we leave there. Join her fundraiser on Tuesday. Please come to her fundraiser and come support this cause. If you're passionate about this and you've had problems with this in your home, you need to come out and support this cause. And if I can be of help to you in any way through coaching, through my 5-day boot camps, please reach out to me. Let's get this thing nipped in the bud right away. Let's help your child right now. Do not wait another day, like she said. Okay, you guys, have a beautiful rest of your week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.